Blog Talk Radio.
It's Cyrus Webb, host of Conversations Live here on blogtalkradio.com. I know it's Wednesday evening, so you're looking forward to hearing from Conversations of a Sister, hosted by Tracy Bell. Tracy is off this evening, but one of the shows that was voted by her fans as one of their favorites they wanted to hear in her absence is a show that I think a lot of people can relate to. It's Functioning Addicts Living with an Addiction. Hope you guys enjoy this show that originally aired October 4th of last year. Tracy will be joining us back next week. Tracy, we miss you. Hope you're having a great vacation, and we'll see you soon here on Conversations Live.
What are the issues? What is the real plight? So much hidden, not just in our fights. Should we lay blame in some of our sessions, or do we just learn in this life lessons? We all on bond, share intimidation. So sad to admit, under one nation, our men need the answer, and we hold the key. We hold our own, what will it come to be? The pain of the past, we need to forget. The bitterness deep, nurture that was kept over and over. Some things seem to be lived, waiting for change, what will we give? We share so much, but do we understand? Truly to give just what we can? Must we be equal in order to relate? Communication open, understand to conversate. Compassion we feel and we share our goals. Encouragements we give and also switch roles. We talk with real open and also raw and imparting our gift. Always sharing more and more. Listen up, son, or should I say mister? The spiritual sensation of conversation with a sister.
Now, welcome to Conversations of a Sister here on Conversations Live. Our topic for tonight is functioning with an addiction. And I do realize that this topic is a very sensitive one, as is the emails that we've been receiving ever since the topic was posted via my blog. If you would like to call in tonight just to share a story, your testimony, or to just add something to the topic, the number to dial in is 1-347-426-3645. Again, that number is 1-347-426-3645. So let's jump right into it. There are people we know who are either functioning addicts or functioning alcoholics. They are abusing drugs as well as alcohol, but they still manage to maintain. This is why it's called functioning with an addiction. And when I say functioning, I mean they are going about their daily lives under the influence of what consumes them, whether it be prescription drugs, alcohol, weed, or cocaine. You're functioning with an addiction. You may wake up early morning, every morning, hit the gym before enjoying breakfast with your spouse and kids, and head off to your high-power job. When you get home from work, your reward for a long day's work might be two bottles of wine or a few joints to help you unwind. Some people who are driven to succeed are normally alcoholics or also alcoholics. If this sounds familiar, you may be what addiction specialists call a high-functioning addict. Someone who holds down a stable job, has a family, and appears to be on top of the world, but privately struggling with the disease of addiction. Now, the functioning addict, sometimes he or she may wake up, and before they hit their feet on the floor, they light up a small white rock, roll up a joint, take a drink, whatever soothes them. Again, they go about their usual routine of getting ready for work and preparing the children for school. While they're at work, they complete all of their tasks and manage to complete some of the work, even extra work. But every chance they get, they're rushing to get that fix. And when you think of someone using drugs or alcohol, you feel as if they are not worthy of functioning like the majority of us, because you wouldn't think that they would, because they're under the influence. But you would be amazed at how many people are actually using drugs and alcohol and functioning every day. I mean, this is something that I've actually seen. It's shocking, but it's very possible. And I think the reason why it is shocking is because so society shows us how some people, when on drugs and alcohol, are sluggish and sometimes without motivation or just downright invalid. But I disagree in some cases, because people can actually be motivated once they've had their fix. It depends on what it is. And once you get immune, they can function better than the most of us. I mean, I worked with a gentleman one time who was great at his craft, great at his job, until he got fired. And when it was questioned why he was fired, no one really wanted to say, but it came out that he was a high-functioning alcoholic. So it's possible to actually function under the influence. So what kind of influence are you functioning under? Or what kind of influence you may know someone functioning over? You have marijuana, you have cocaine, although marijuana doesn't cause people to do certain things like driving and causing a fatal accident like alcohol would. It still alters the mind. Marijuana does take on an effect where the user generally feels more relaxed than usual, more mellow. And it kind of leads to one not wanting to do too many activities. But it also relaxes a person enough to omit stress and get more mental work accomplished. So it depends on what the person or individual's preference is. Now, for example, cocaine. It is a known fact that using cocaine stimulates the body. Now, this can lead to the person being highly energetic. Now, I must say, I don't think that I've ever known anyone who has been on cocaine. I don't know, possibly, but that's not something that I've ever detected, not certainly in my circle. But out of all of the examples I've just given, cocaine is the most addictive. Normally, a person can tell right off when a person is using cocaine. But in certain instances, the detection of a user, it can be easily overlooked. This can be true when you have someone who's a functional smoker, as, you know, people call them. This functional smoker can not only handle their daily activities, but they also use the stimulating senses to accomplish things. And if they keep their appearance up, 9 times out of 10, no one will notice. But if you're sharp enough to sense the instability, you'll know. Now, when I first published this story or this topic on my blog, I had a lot of my readers email me offline, knowing family members and knowing people who are addicted but shy actually about sharing their story. So, if they're listening tonight, I mean, I think that everyone knows someone who has an addiction. And if not, you're basically blessed, I'll say, or, you know, you're doing good. Because I have functioning addicts in my family. Yeah, I have functioning addicts in my family. I have family members who abuse alcohol, prescription medication, and weed. And these family members look well put together. High-functioning addicts usually do. And that's because they're living double lives. They live a life that has double standards. Successful. They're addicted by night, addicted at home, addicted behind closed doors. And I guess this is why they're called functioning addicts. Their lives are shrouded in secret, lies, and shame, all of which must be addressed in order to return to healthy functioning. But, you know, because society has an image of, you know, what a drug addict or alcoholic should look like, the high-functioning addict, you know, they don't match this stereotype. Family and friends often unknowingly enable the addict's destructive behavior by refusing to acknowledge or even confront the person's problem. I mean, you don't know what kind of backlash you're going to get. Like this one reader on my blog, she wrote to me today, and she said, I really wish that I could have my aunt call on the show to get her to tell her story, but she won't even really admit that she has a problem. She gets upset or annoyed when we even mention it or bring it up, whenever it's confronted. But I say that sooner or later, the functioning addict will lose control. In either case, treatment is often the only way for a high-functioning addict to reclaim control over their lives, their family, their career, even their futures. And families play a critical role in this because addiction is a family disease. I mean, if you drink now, you may have had an uncle who drank in the past. If you did drugs now, you may have had someone in your family who's done it in the past. Yes, it might be a family disease, but that is also a curse. That is a generational curse. It's a curse that follows each generation. And you have to know where the curse and the buck is going to stop. And if that's you, then it should stop with you. Interventionists, or addiction specialists who can help the addict recognize the extent of their drug and or alcohol problem and enter into a treatment program that meets their unique needs is very possible. It's not like all hope is lost. Sometimes you just need help getting there. However, the first big step is admitting and recognizing the fact that you have a problem and need to seek professional treatment. So I am 16 minutes into my segment, and my producer has not stopped me to tell me there's a caller on the line. So I guess you just want to hear where I'm going with this, or maybe you just want to take the information. But I'll say this, okay, like on my blog, I think I highlighted four entertainers who had an addiction. And, you know, for the world, I think it was a secret addiction, maybe aside from Amy Winehouse. I can basically watch Amy Winehouse perform and know that she had an addiction. But let's talk about Whitney Houston. And I'm saying Whitney Houston because I love Whitney Houston. I loved her. She was like family. And Whitney, a couple of days before she died, everyone talked about seeing her in a club, how she looked normal. You know, she's having a good time. You know, she seemed like nothing was wrong. Yet, the day that she died, the day that she passed away, her mother shared when they spoke how Whitney seemed fine, Whitney seemed normal. But yet, she told her mother that she was going back to rehab. Why? I mean, if she seemed normal, why would she tell her mother this? And that's because she knew that her mother knew her better than anyone else. And aside from the world, she knew that her mother could see if she was still struggling with an addiction. So if you're a functioning addict listening to my program tonight, in denial about it or struggling with seeking help, I want to leave you with something. I want to leave you with something to think about, because I think that in anything that you do, in anything that you seek to do, you need to seek God first. That's my belief, because God is your ultimate guide, your ultimate helper. So this is what I leave you. This is something that I had written a couple of years ago, and I want to share it. Do we trust God, or do we live by fate? When our weaknesses destroy us, it's the biggest self-hate. And what's the use is the poorest excuse, especially when we choose this substance abuse. Day in and day out, live on a fix, thinking can't cope without it, is the biggest trick. Function without it, then you have a real attitude. Try to control, but it alters the mood. Cocaine, weed, pills, or the bottle. Deny the problem. Silence the throttle. Inner self dying so much and such. Can't live without it is the biggest crutch. But you gotta love self and to self be kind. With a made up mind, seek strength divine. Hug, love, and to you be true. A sober spirit, seek that to renew. Functioning addiction, being hooked to hide. Pull off those demons and seek a spiritual guide. So remember, if you are listening and you are dealing with this issue, I implore you tonight to seek professional help, because only a professional can get you back on track. That's along with your creator. So tune in next week here on Conversations of a Sister, where my topic will be the self-absorbed individual. As usual, the conversations are never ending and always continuing on my blog, which can be accessed through either of my websites, www.readywriterproductioncompany.com or www.truthandmyth.com. Until next week, whatsoever things are just, lovely, honest, pure, and true, if there be any virtue and any praise, I want you to think on these things. Until next time, bye-bye.
My soul, I had nowhere to turn, I had nowhere to go, lost sight of my dream, thought it would be the end of me, I thought I'd never make it through, I had no hope to hold on to, I thought I would break. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down, and I tumbled, but I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. I didn't know my own strength, but by my darkest hour, my faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up, hold my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. Oh. Found hope in my heart. I found the light to light my way out of the dark. Found all that I need here inside of me. Oh, I thought I'd never find my way. But I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. Oh, I didn't know my own strength.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did. I was not built to break. No, no, I got to know my own strength.